Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And today on this episode, I'm sat down with Joe of the band Poolbearer. This is a pretty decent conversation, actually. It's only 23 minutes long or so. We only had half an hour with Joe, but we are very, very grateful for that time. Poolbearer have a brand new record out on the 17th of May. Go and check it out. It is very, very good. I will tell you that much. It's not out for a couple of weeks as I record this intro, but alas, it's a very, very good record. Want to do a massive shout out to Claire over at Nuclear Blast for setting this one up. You are a star as always. Enjoy the episode and we'll catch you next time. See you soon. Just a quick thing I need to mention. The Zoom kept kind of dropping out on Joe's end of the call. The sound kept dropping in and out, so I'm going to try and do my best with that. But yeah, I can only do what I can do. Enjoy the podcast. See you soon. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And today I'm chatting to an artist whose music I've listened to for a fairly long time. Since 2017 is when I got into this band. I'm chatting to the excellent Poolbearer. I've got Joe on the line, bass player, singer, yeah, extraordinaire. How are you,
hey,
sir?
How's it going?
I was trying to think of another adjective there for you, but I ran out there. We are here today to talk all about Poolbearer's brand new record called Burns Alive, which is out on the 17th of May. First question, my friend, how are you feeling ahead of the record's release?
I mean, a little bit.
Say again, Ben?
Oh, I'm really excited. I think... Can you hear me?
I can. There was a slight glitch. It's fine. You're good.
No, I'm really excited about it. I think Mind Burns Alive is honestly my favorite record that we've ever done. We were able to actually spend all of the time that we wanted to make everything as deep and intricate as we wanted to sonically, especially coming from our previous record, Forgotten Days, which was kind of a different and sort of rushed process for us, where a lot of the control was out of our hands. It was very cool to kind of like flip the script on this one and be able to take total control on our own timeline and in our own sort of creative space on this one.
Absolutely. And that's the thing as well. So the previous record came out in 2020. Obviously, albums don't get released, generally speaking, in the same year that they're written. So obviously you had, but yeah, releasing an album in the pandemic kind of was a bit of a whole whirlwind of things. I don't really want to touch that too much, but coming out of that, it's kind of, I guess, nice that you've kind of gone, right, cool. The music industry still exists. We can still go out and do stuff as a band. Do you know what I mean? So having that kind of that length of time to be like, cool, that was terrible. Now things are getting better. Talk to me about this record, because I've been sent it. I've listened to it a few times. With this record and with your music more generally, it is something that reveals itself to me without sounding too much like a potential wanker, to be honest. But it does. It takes a little bit of time, takes a little bit of like it to soak into you, if you see what I mean. And it's something I've really been enjoying. How do you go about making this type of music without revealing too many of the tricks and the trades and things?
I mean, throughout the history of the band, Brett and myself have kind of been the creative forces behind everything sonically. Like, we're the primary songwriters throughout the history of the band. He and I have kind of split everything 50-50 in terms of the creative output. This record, when we started writing a bulk of the material in 2019, around the time that we were also working on Forgotten Days, but this had a lot longer of a period to germinate. We had originally planned on recording what we had then in the spring of 2020, but the album has obviously, as you might imagine, evolved quite a bit since then. There were several songs that were no longer on the track list. New songs came into play. We're relatively slow and patient songwriters. Like, songs usually come together over the course of months or years. Like, there were a couple songs on this record that literally took like a few years to truly like kind of be carved into the finished product. And we're pretty, I think, picky and meticulous about what makes it onto our albums in terms of the layering of things. Like, we tend to try to imbue each record with a lot of little details that do reveal themselves over multiple listens. Mm-hmm. I don't think we are a band that our creative output is super conducive to just a surface level listen. Like, I can understand why, you know, if just listening to something in passing, like, it may not necessarily resonate with someone, because I think we write and create music with the intent of like being immersed and meditating on it in a sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the thing as well. I kind of wanted to ask as well. So in the world in which we live in 2024, obviously, like, the kind of the platforms that play, so Spotify, Apple, the music industry at large, will tell you they want to have drop a single, drop a single, drop a single. Don't do albums. Don't. I personally, I'm kind of the old school opinion of being like, no, I want a whole body of work. I want to, you know, if you're a, you know, a massive international pop star, fine, drop singles however you want, that's fine. But for someone like, for, you know, in the rock and metal space, it's kind of like, I want a full cohesive package. And this is what this journey is. You know, I don't review music on the show because I feel like other people do it a lot better than me, but I've put a few things down. You know, it's emotive, it's heavy, it's, you know, it's joyous, and there's so many like ebbs and flows, without sounding again too much like, you know, I'm whatever, but it is just really, really good. And I feel like you as a band and personally should be really, really proud of it, because I know obviously the wider world haven't heard it yet, but just as one man opinion, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I genuinely think it's going to be up there in terms of the end of the year list that I always do and always fret over, kind of like, you know, putting my top 10 albums of the year, because it is absolutely wonderful. Yeah, so congratulations more than anything. It's not even a question. It's just me gushing and congratulating you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, just as a reflection on that, we have always had the ethos of wanting to write music that we would want to listen to. You know, I think a lot of artists probably do that, but I know that there are some artists who write music from a commercial perspective, like they write what they know will sell albums. Sure. They may not necessarily be super invested, like, personally in the art that they're creating, or they may not even consider it to be art if it's a commercial product. But for us, we want to create records that we can look back on and be proud of and find new things in ourselves as well.
Absolutely. So when I get the opportunity to sit down with people like yourself, Joe, I try where I can to take a quick snapshot of kind of the early years of yourself growing up and kind of where you kind of got the kind of that initial spark for music, because I think that's really interesting, and to see what kind of where and how you kind of fell into the position you are now in the band and everything else. So I wanted to ask, how did you kind of first discover music? Was it friends, family? Talk to me about that, the early years.
So it was a family thing for me. I was enrolled in piano lessons at a very, very young age. I think I started at age six. Mm-hmm. I had kind of a maybe slightly atypical religious upbringing and wasn't allowed to listen to secular music. I was only allowed to listen to classical music or religious music. So I don't know. As time went on, I found myself looking to explore outside of those boundaries, kind of in a secretive manner.
For sure.
And I think that's sort of like what pushed me into being very invested in creating music that exists like outside of like societal paradigm, I guess. I've always been drawn to not necessarily extreme music, but just kind of stuff that skirts the outer edges of like normative things that people, you know, just your average Joe, so to speak, would be listening to. So I had a classical training as a child, and that kind of resulted in me like wanting, as time went on, I was interested in, like, I started getting interested in punk rock and metal and stuff like that. And as kind of as a early teenager, so I don't know,
for sure,
kind of a rambling exposition on that, but
it's all good. It's all good. So there isn't a right or wrong answer to this. It's just your personal opinion. But in your personal opinion, Joe, who is the best live band you've ever seen?
Oh, that's hard. There's a few. Probably the absolute best that had the most impact on me was getting to see Heaven and Hell, the like
amazing
Black
nice.
Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio
amazing
tour. I got to see that two nights in a row a few years before Dio died.
Sure.
That is truly, I honestly feel like that kind of altered my trajectory as a person, just like seeing how incredible that was. I feel very lucky that I was able to see that. Also Gong, the progressive rock band, they put on probably the greatest performance that I've seen in my like latter adult life, because I was just like fresh out of college when I saw Heaven and Hell, but I had the opportunity to see Gong just a handful of years ago, and I was absolutely floored by that. It was like I felt like they were somehow like casting like a magic spell on the audience, like while they were playing. It was like so powerful.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's really nice to hear that again, because I think when you're in your younger years and you're seeing bands for the first time, you are kind of in awe of kind of everything you see, because it is just kind of this new experience. As you kind of, you know, grow up and get a bit older, you do tend, or at least I have in my personal experience, you tend to see some of the cynicisms within certain bands. You think, oh, you know, this is the best crowd you've ever seen. Like, do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And you think, oh, okay. And then you see a band who, you know, it could be like a really small band, it could be a huge band, and they genuinely blow you away. And you're like, okay, that's kind of, and you sort of trying to chase that like childlike kind of joy that you had when you first saw those bands, and like, oh, I want to have that again. So that makes perfect sense. When I'm being on my phone just because I need to show you something, I'm going to play you something. So basically on the podcast in 2024, okay, what I'm starting to do, and I'm going to ask you if this is okay for you to do the same in a moment, is I'm asking the previous guest to ask the next guest a question on the podcast, right? So I have a question, okay, which has been asked by the last two people I interviewed, a band called Amongst Liars from the UK, and I'm gonna play this. Hopefully this should all work. If you tell me if it's working, 2 seconds.
Okay.
I'll say something along the lines of, if you were to get stranded on a desert island and you could bring an instrument with you which isn't your normal instrument, so that, for example, if I could land, I couldn't bring a piano, but I could bring a drum kit sort of thing. So you had all this time to learn as well by yourself on the island. What instrument would you bring?
There we go. Did you catch that?
Oh, that's a very easy answer. I would bring a modular synthesizer.
Ah, amazing. You know what? I've again, just because of kind of the way that kind of modern metal is kind of going in that kind of synthesizer, I'm so into the kind of synth thing. I understand that's something you guys do as well in yourself, because yeah, modern synths is so cool, man. so cool. So yeah, I would like to talk as well a little bit about touring, because I think touring is it's kind of, again, not in a band, so please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that is where the fun aspect of being a band. If I was in any band, I think I'd probably be in like a punk rock band, because I could do the three chords and the truth and I'd be away and I'd go play loads of shows and have, you know, loads of beer and stuff. But someone like yourself, how do you kind of find that aspect of touring? How do you, the band, find that aspect of touring? And do you kind of weigh up the kind of, because again, this album is really, really, like I said, heavy, emotive, you know, joyous. all that energy and emotion into that album and then bring it out to the stage? How do you find that juxtaposition, if there is one at all?
I love touring. I love the I do love the aspect of being able to emote and kind of transmute that emotion on stage through music. I have always kind of had the mindset that songs, and our songs in particular, are kind of like a living organism that is continuing to evolve. And especially in live setting, it gets to, that's where its evolution continues. Mm-hmm. So just getting to observe and participate in the progress of that evolution night in and night out is really thrilling to me. There's also things about touring that are, you know, it's not as fun. It's like very regimented. It is very much like when you're operating like we are, it's, you know, it's a job.
Yeah, for
there's
sure.
A lot of waiting around. You kind of like know what your day is going to be like in terms of like all the variables. Like, we've experienced so many of the things that you could experience happening. It can be stressful sometimes, like when there's time constraints or you're running late because of, you know, a flat tire or, you know, stuff like that, or traffic or bad weather. But we've kind of become accustomed to a lot of the stressors, and a lot of it is just kind of like managing stress and anxiety around the waiting around period for the, you know, 1 hour and change that you perform at the end of the night. So it's usually every day is, it's, you know, probably like 14 to 16 hours of kind of logistics around the 1 hour that you're performing.
Absolutely.
So in that regard, it, you know, you have to learn to entertain yourself, like find things to make every day exciting, because if you're only looking forward to the performance, there's a lot of dullness that can enter, and I think like a malaise can sort of set in after a while, because it can be exhausting, it can be very boring. But I think all of us in the band have kind of learned to facilitate different interests on the road. Like, I'd like to go find a coffee shop and,
sure,
you know, find hopefully like a good local restaurant that's nearby to be able to have a nice meal before the show, take a walk around and kind of take in the local scenery and stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff that can be pretty boring, but I even all these years later, after having been touring for as long as we have, I still find it pretty exciting. And I also feel fortunate that we were able to do it.
Absolutely. That's really, it's really refreshing to hear as well, because like I say, I've had the opportunity to interview a lot of different bands from all scopes and all kind of areas of the rock and metal scene, and above that and beyond that as well. So it's always really nice to hear that kind of, like you say, you still enjoy doing the touring aspect. And it's like you say, because, you know, being in a bus, being in a van, you could just go state to state, city to city, and you might not even know where you are. But unless you get out and, like you say, go to a coffee shop, go and find some dinner and things, that's really cool to hear. So something I like to do on this podcast, and I have done since 2023, I was about to say 2013, Christ, I haven't gone that long, since 2023, is I like to ask the same question to every single artist where I can. So I need you to like buy into the question a little bit, because it will make sense later in a second. So when Apple or Spotify or Amazon or one of these big like podcasting platforms buys this podcast from me, right, I am going to not invest the money back into that thing. I'm going to blow all the money on one big festival, right? And Paul Bearer invited me to play the festival along with all the other bands who've been on the show. It's going to be about a week long. It's going to be lovely. Lovely, big, eclectic bill. And also, we're having it in the biggest field we can physically get our hands on. Now, my question to you is, what would you like to add to the rider of the festival, right? Now, just a couple of things to consider. I've done in excess of 300 interviews at this point, about 150 of those I've asked that question to. So we've had a very big variety of things. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So I had Josh from Cattle Decapitation say to me that he wants a full laundry service, which I think was a touch class, to be honest. He's going to be everybody's friend. We've had people say really weirdly specific, like brands of red wine or like, you know, soda and things like that. We've had puppies. We've had masseuses. We've had people coming in via private helicopters. One, I can't remember. I can never remember the band exactly who told me, but they said, I just want Taylor Swift. And I sort of had to go, in what capacity? He said, just sort of milling about being Taylor Swift. And I'm like, fair enough. So what would you like to add to the rider?
I'm going to answer with the same answer that I gave for the desert island question and say that there needs to be a backstage modular synthesizer.
Fair enough. That worked. A man about his synths. I love that. I love that. That makes perfect sense. I have got a couple of final questions for you, Joe, before I let you on your way, because I know you're a busy man and got things to do today. So I appreciate your time. And one of those questions is a question that I have asked every single artist who's been on this show. And it's a personal question to you, so there isn't a right or wrong answer, but it's fairly simple. It is, what is the best thing about being in a band for you?
I mean, I feel like I've already sort of addressed it. I really enjoy, well, I don't know. I guess there's a couple things. I really enjoy the creative process. Over the past year, I moved back to Arkansas from New York and set up a new recording studio, which I'm like sitting in right now. So the ability to actually record our material is something that I'm very excited about. And I'm also excited about the live performance and watching that evolution of the songs, as I mentioned before.
Absolutely. And what is ahead for 2024? Obviously, the album is going to be out on the 17th of May. I'm assuming along with that comes lots of touring and things like that. What can you tell us about what is there left to say and to plug at the end of the podcast?
So album comes out May 17th. We're touring North America starting in June, going through August. And we also will be touring in the fall overseas. Not all the dates have been announced yet, so I'm not really at liberty go into full detail about that yet. But a handful of the dates have already been announced. So keep an eye out for that.
Amazing stuff. Joe, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. Good luck with the album. I hope it does stellar, because like I say, I think it's a stellar record. And thank you for taking the time to chat to us today.
All right. Thanks.
Love you. Cheers, mate. Thanks. Bye.